hopefully our conversation will live up to the hype.
Okay, so everybody, another week of Freedom of Truth. Thank you so much for listening in. So I had a big launch party for my Freedom of Truth. It was private, though, for just friends, family, and the press. And, you know, God and the universe works in mysterious ways because the woman who was doing publicity for me said I needed a DJ. And she said, I have somebody who is official DJ. You're going to like him. I said, okay. At that point, I was just like, whatever, because we need a DJ. I did a couple of speeches at the Freedom of Truth launch, and when I first met the DJ, you could tell he had a really good, humble soul. But after a couple of my speeches, he came up to me and said, yo, I need to share my story on your platform, because what I said, and like you guys always know, I keep it so 100. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's freedom in telling the truth. It's freedom in sharing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's everything to me. It's what gave me healing. And like everyone knows, I have a very, you know, and it's not even with my ex-husband. My journey and my dark past started from my childhood. That's my foundation. It's who made me who I am today. To be prepared for what came. So when DJ Hercules, saying it right.
Yes, ma'am.
Came to me and said he wanted to share his story, and he shared just a little bit. And it entailed with drugs, murder, or was it suicide? Am I right?
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
He automatically striked my attention. And I say that only because, not because he said murder or drugs or anything, but I came from that. Yeah. And I know, looking at him and how put together he looked, he had his mind right. He had a very positive energy, because I'm all about energies. And to know that this man, I mean, the smile, I'm not even just saying that. Like, I mean, you are what I represent. Thank you. Through hell,
yeah,
and still smiling and shining.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw in you. And I said, yo, when you told me that you've been through that, I said, we got to have him.
Yeah.
Just like you was like, I want to, you know,
yeah,
talk about
yeah.
it. I was like, we got to have
Absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
So, guys, I just wanted to give you a little intro, but I'm going to let you guys hear from him, because I didn't want to know too much about him.
Yeah.
I could just tell, you know, from his presence that he was a good dude, but I wanted to save all the goods for, you know, here.
Yeah.
Oh, and what I don't want to leave out is what Freedom of Truth is about is overcoming hurtful situations and showing that you can do it, because Absolutely. I can. I did. Because, mm-hmm. you know, guys, hello.
Right.
So, excuse me, guys. Without further ado, DJ Hercules.
What's up, my people? What's up? Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
I appreciate the dope intro.
Yeah, it's how I feel. It's from the heart.
Speaking about the party, a lot of people hit me up. They love the music. They love everything about it. And even approaching you, you know, just you were just so honest. And people in the room, the way they gravitated to you, I was like, wait a minute, I gotta just talk to her. I just gotta let me get this off my chest, and this is the best platform to do it. And I felt comfortable. It didn't feel like a gimmick. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like, hey, I wanna expose you, or
no.
It just felt like, yo, come talk.
It felt real.
It felt real good. It felt real good. So like, I just wanted to come in and chop it up on your platform.
And chop it
this
up
is
and
a
inspire.
Nice. Yeah,
inspire.
It feels good. It feels good.
It feels good. And that's you know, and that means a lot to me. So just so you understand. Or no, the reason why I have the tea on the table is because, you know, my mom and I was really close.
Okay.
And just, you know, just to warm you up,
yeah,
and
yeah,
get
yeah,
you
yeah,
understand,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We are on the same page. Before she left and abandoned me and my siblings, you know, she always drank tea at night.
Okay.
Something about the peppermint tea, it just soothed. She said it felt like it soothed.
No, it smells magnificent.
Does it? Okay,
yeah, it
good.
It smells magnificent. It smells excellent.
Oh, good. Because that's, I wanted to create that kind of feel. I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to feel free, because I know I didn't have that.
I was
basically, I feel like pushed from the higher power, though, to come out.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I was thinking at my darkest point in my life, I was thinking, the same thing. I said, it had to be something. That's why I believe in a higher power. Mm-hmm. Because as a young kid going through so much and mm-hmm. seeing so much, just to start from the beginning, I'm from Harlem, 155th oh, Street, Polo okay. Ground Projects.
Oh.
I'm saying I'm, okay. I'm born and raised there. And, you know, had three, I'm the youngest of three.
Okay.
You know, I'm Puerto Rican.
Wow. Oh, you're Puerto, I'm Puerto Rican. Yes, I wasn't sure.
I speak Spanish. I write it. I understand it. Shout out to me, Boricua.
I'm Panamanian. What am I? I knew it.
So I'm Boricua. And, you know, grew up, like I said, Harlem was, it's interesting at that time because it was very, it was deceptive because I'm going to paint the picture for you guys and everybody listening for you as well. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Building 1. So Rucker Park is across the street.
Street from the Polo Grounds.
And then the rooftop is right there. So coming out the building as a kid, you were confused because you seen all the hardworking black people struggling. Mm. But then you seen young black successful drug dealers.
At that time.
In my mind, I'm like, these guys, they got the jewelry, they got the fright. And I'm like, yo, man, I want to be like that. Mm. You know, not knowing that, you know, I'm a kid, I'm an easy influence, but not knowing that my parents sold drugs. My parents,
you
both
didn't know
my
at
parents.
The time?
I mean, as time progressed, mm-hmm. I picked up on certain things. Both my parents never had a regular job. I don't even think my parents had DMV IDs.
They bought everything.
It was just, it, you know, and it was, everybody, see, what I came on here to express is everybody talks about the high times of drug dealing and they talk about, I'm here to express the dark side of it so people can understand that. There's no success in that.
It ain't all like, it's glitz and glam. It's not what you're...
Everybody talks about the high points, but nobody talks about the low points. So that drug dealer that you see with the big chain, you see him 10 years now, he don't have that big chain. He's doing bad.
That's real.
Either that or he's a user. Mm. So my parents, you know, basically, they kept me around everything. I was the mama's boy. Mm. Shout out to Xavier, mama's boy.
Yes,
that's what I'm talking about. Salute. I always loved it. My mom. She showed me a lot. She was the only one that really showed me affection.
Wow.
She talked to me gentle. She really like, it was like, once I'm around her, I didn't care. Like, it didn't even seem like being around her it didn't seem like selling drugs was bad. If somebody would have asked me when I was a kid, like.
Because of her nurturing.
Yeah. And spirit. It was tough being, it was crazy because I seen my mother on the avenue while she was selling her narcotics and stuff. A lot of guys respected her. Mm. Now, it was due to my father. My father was a real gangster. Mm. In and out of jail. Like, people moved out of his way when he walked down the street.
He was nothing to play with.
Yeah. And my dad, you know, he really didn't, I don't even think he knew how to read, but he knew, one thing he didn't know how to do was box. He was a boxer.
And he knew them streets.
And he knew the streets. So for him to teach us something, there wasn't much he could teach us but how to survive in the streets.
Because that's all he knew.
That's all he knew. And at the time when I was a kid, I didn't really realize, like, you know, dad never took me out to play. Like, it was a never normal childhood around. Like, it was never like, it was days without eating.
Even with them bringing in money, but because they on the street.
We were all four on welfare.
Gotcha.
So, like, it wasn't like they, I don't want to profess that they were Pablo Escobar or anything like that, but we were hustling to survive.
Gotcha.
Basically.
Gotcha.
So it was nights where things didn't go right. And it was nights where things were
setbacks where you guys
We, you know, it was poverty. Like, I'm talking about peanut butter and jelly sandwich for breakfast, lunch, and dinner if there was nothing else.
I can relate.
You understand what I'm saying? And I still eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich
every
day.
I actually just stopped when I turned vegan.
But, you know, my dad, you know, he comes from the era of the heroin and everything.
Oh, okay.
My mom's really, I never seen my mom's do no drugs until she got with my father.
Really?
Yeah, I never seen that. And the first thing was, it was about.
So they started using.
And that's the horrors of it. I want to harp on that because, like I said, they weren't Pablo Escobar. It wasn't raining money. We were just hustling to survive.
Doing what they had to do for
it was four boys.
Four kids.
Yeah, four boys, and you know, welfare. You know, and.
things that's going on every day right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. And
families trying to make it and make the best out of it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. And then you got, like I said, you growing up in Harlem where it... crack didn't even hit yet.
This was heroin?
This was coming up in heroin, and heroin was just leaving the scene.
And crack was coming in.
And when crack came in, it took everybody. It took every... I'm talking about... I'll tell you a story. One time, me and my mother was going on 153rd Street, and that's where the dealer was. And I don't mean to jump ahead, but I'm just going to give you the story because we're on that.
Mm-hmm.
And what really shocked me is that we never had no structure, so there was never a time limit to go to sleep. You know, it was just up, you're up running the streets,
goes,
mom's
like
up, yeah, everything goes. And I had a bike in the house, and my mom was like, I'm going out, Ruby, come on, let's go. I said, okay, so we're going out. It was normal. I didn't know my mom was going to get her fix. So we go to 153rd Street. There's a dealer on the corner. At that time, you could hit the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember this vividly. And it was a woman standing in front of my mom's with her child. And the dealer was like, you know, like, get out of here. You ain't got no money.
To your mom?
No, to the lady in front of me.
Okay.
And literally, and every time I tell this, the hair stand up on my arm, she's like, listen, I just need a hit. And she pushed her child towards the man, like, here, take him. Take him, like, take him for crack. And I think the guy just, like, he kind of, like, he's like, yo, get off this block. If I see you on this block, I'm going to kill you. And that's how bad crack hit the scene. That's how bad it was.
Well, you know I know because I'm a survivor from, I mean, not me, but you
yeah,
know, married.
My father. Crack
first.
Hit the scene crazy. And so let's rewind back. My mom's, you know, my dad was really running the streets and doing what he was doing. And, you know, it was a violent relationship. You know, my dad would put his hands on my mother in front of us.
Because he was angry.
It was a horrible relationship. Happy. And I couldn't, like, now that I think, I couldn't figure for the life of me why she stood.
Mm-hmm.
But that love back then and the love now is two different. It's two different things. Like, you know, and it makes you wonder, like, when you love somebody, and like I said, you would know. You know, when you love somebody, you love
me. I'm gonna have some stuff to say after you're done.
When you love somebody, you love somebody. Yeah. You know, I get it. You know, and you know, my dad, he would take the money, would gamble the money sometime. My dad, he loved shooting dice, and you know, it would be times he would leave, be gone for days, they argue, whatever the case may be. And I think, you know, from what I seen, my dad put my mom on to shooting heroin. And that wasn't the best thing, you know. My dad ended up passing away. He ended up passing away. He died in front of me. He was in the hospital.
He died in front of you in the hospital?
Yeah.
From the
on Halloween. Both my parents, and this is the truth, you know, this is the truth. Both my parents passed away from HIV. Both my parents died from AIDS. My father gave it to my mother. It was tough.
Like, I'm just...
It's tough. I know.
I so relate to this story because, see, I could only imagine.
Yeah.
See, and this is what... Okay, so I'm always... Everyone that I have on my show is... And I don't even want to say it's a show. It's really, like, the people that I bring in my life and bring into this.
Yeah.
So to inspire other people. It has to be a part of me where I can relate.
Right.
So, like when I was speaking with my son, what happened in your childhood could have happened easily in my relationship because I loved my ex-husband more than myself.
I
could have started doing that too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because when you love somebody so much and you're trying to help them,
right?
Which you never know. Your mom and your dad, she probably seen them going, you know, that y'all went from, well, let's say I act like I'm your mom, like we went from hustling and getting that money to now the actual
everything went downhill.
Victims, you know what I'm saying? Like the actual people. So, you know, I know women reach out to me all the time saying, how didn't you get addicted?
And I was just about to ask you, where did that strength, where the will came from?
This is what I'm saying. And you know what? Because I want to be very, like, I want to be very, because this is, I feel like it's so sensitive.
Yeah, and I see you. Like,
yeah, and I want to make sure I choose my words right. Nah, because it's so real. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, how I didn't do it was, and that's why I say it started from my foundation.
Okay.
My mom, I'm the oldest of seven.
Okay.
And my mom's Panamanian, raised, came up here when she was 18.
Okay.
And she was very naive. She didn't understand the streets. My dad is from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Red Hook Projects, fast-talking street dude. And he totally took over with my mom, you know what I'm saying? And then he started, he was verbally, mentally, emotionally, physically abusive.
Yeah.
She left, though. Instead of staying, she left.
Wow.
Him with these kids. And then I came in. I had turned it. I went from a daughter to a woman overnight because
right,
I started taking care of the best that I could.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the hell I was doing, to be honest with you, but I just was trying to keep us together.
Yeah.
But he started using.
Wow.
And I didn't know, though. I didn't understand. I used to make fun of people on crack. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know the power it had.
Yeah.
So my dad used to start verbally, mentally, and kind of a little physically abusing me, too.
Right.
I know what that felt like, though, to be abandoned, to be with, to have a parent on drugs.
It's crazy.
To what it does, that emptiness.
It's crazy.
What you don't understand what's going on and how it, I know, like, okay, even though they were hustling, I know there was love there. You felt it.
Yeah, and that's the part that really, like, even though, like, it was terrible, that's the part where I appreciate my mother for.
So I understood you.
Because she's like, it's dark, but I'm going to take you away. I'm going to take you away from the darkness. What do you want?
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing, like, she always made sure that we were good. What do you want? Okay, let's go get it. I remember they used to sell toys in the store, and every time I went to the store, let's go to the toy, Ruby. Let's get a toy. Here you go. Remember the Green Army Men, the bat?
That, what? Me and my brothers used to.
That was the
oldest.
That was the best.
That was the best. We used to kill our
cars. That was the best.
Yeah,
that was the best.
I'm telling you, that was the best. I used to be everything.
And my mom, she would take me to the. I had a cap gun. Like, she was just like, Ruby, here. Like, I don't want you. Like, you try to. She tried to provide as much of a normal kid and grow up as
she
a kid
could.
As possible, but it just wasn't holding together. And see, the thing is, everybody has a story. But what separates mine is that I was a young kid, and to go through, like, it affected me physically. I was in the hospital for, like, I was diagnosed with severe epilepsy.
Oh,
so yeah, because it all took a toll on me. And I don't want to get ahead, but my dad, when he passed away, my mom took it really rough, you know, and it hurt
everything.
Yeah,
like,
and it hurt me, like, cause I was like, Dad's not here no more, like it.
So you remember when it got cold, like, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what
it was Halloween. He died on Halloween.
No, but I mean, like, the coldness,
yeah,
the emptiness,
yeah,
when, you know what I'm saying? It went from love, them hustling, no matter what, like, it was what it was, and then it went cold, like, the drugs came in, that demon, it's a demon.
Yeah.
I've looked that demon in the face.
And it really sent my mom's over, the edge, like, it was like, nah, the look on her face was like, I don't have nobody now, and now I might as well just.
And she let go, she gave up.
Yeah.
And you saw that deterioration.
Yeah.
And you were close to her.
Yeah, that was my everything. Like, that was my, it was like everything we did together. Like, you know, I watched her get high. I watched her when she was sober. I watched her deteriorate literally in front of me. And my dad was a strappy guy. And it was one day where, all right, at that time, they didn't know what age was.
It was the beginning of it.
They didn't even know. Like, you went to the hospital. It was like, oh, we don't know.
Here's
some penicillin and go home. And I remember my dad, he was coming down the corridor of the project apartment, and he was, like, very weak. And as he's walking, his toenails are falling off.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, Dad, I'm crying. Like, Dad, what's wrong with you? He stumbling into the bathroom, and I remember him spitting up blood. Yeah. I remember him spitting up blood. And then I would like I we walked
you
into
were
the
really who was the other siblings? It seemed like you were really
my brothers, they were out running the street. They
so were you were the one
street.
That just was there.
Like, yeah, I seen concerned. It. And even my brothers now, they're like, how you remember this? How do you? And I'm like, how not?
I was there.
I was like, there, you know? My other brother, Adrian, I have my brother Adrian, Eddie, and Hector. My brother Adrian, he was sort of here and there, mm-hmm. and he remembers certain stories, but he don't remember what I remember because he was doing what he wanted.
They were ignoring. They
picture, you can be 10 years old and you can go out the house and be out to 3 in the morning.
And especially in Harlem at the Polo Grounds?
And all we did was, like it was days we didn't have no food, so we'd go pack bags, we'd go wash cars on top of the bridge. You know the bridge that goes to the Bronx? We'd go wash cars to get money to eat sometime. And then, like, back then there was no cell phones.
No.
So it was days when my mom wasn't home, my dad wasn't home, so we would have to just be in the hallway sleep. And I was
couldn't get in
the house. Yeah, we just put our book bags next to the door, and then my brother, he would watch out while we slept. We took turns to sleep. So, and then sometimes the neighbors would see us out there. There was a neighbor, Loretta, I'll never forget her. She took us, and then the next door neighbor, she was like, y'all all right, come and get something to eat. And she would let us in sometime, but not all the time.
Yeah.
And like I said, my dad, he just deteriorated. I'm talking about, like, when you go to sleep, his hair in the pillow, like his hair falling off in the pillow.
Ate him up.
And
how old was he? You think about 30?
My dad.
Yeah.
My dad. Yeah. He was like in his mid thirties, early 40s. I would say.
Your mom too.
Yeah, my mom's. Yeah. And it was just. Rough times, like it was just horrible, crazy,
it's just unimaginable.
Yeah.
It don't even sound like I understand what you're saying, but just same thing with my story. It's like it's so unreal.
Yeah,
but this happens every
this
day.
This happens, and this is why I wanted to come on the Freedom of Truth podcast.
And this is why I'm happy you share.
People can watch us and say, "Hey, I've been there," or "I don't want to go down that road," and I don't ever want to. You know, so my dad.
How did you get through? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, I'm
where's
here
the
right
power?
Now.
Where's
yeah,
the strength?
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know, and like my dad, he passed away eventually, and he passed away in the hospital at Metropolitan Hospital actually on Halloween.
Wow.
And all I know is we were there, and my grandmother, which is his mother, was feeding him, and he went to go take that last scoop, and he just. No back, so they took me out there. Because, you know, as a kid, I'm like, we're going trick-or-treating. Like,
yeah, like, you still, like...
Yeah, and I got my costume on, you know, and I'm thinking it's a regular day, this is what happens. So my aunt, they rushed me out, you know, and they're like, hey, your dad's not here no more. I'm like, I took it kind of...
I took it hard,
even though he was you know, abusive.
Father.
This is my dad, you know.
It's all you knew.
And we looked alike. We look exactly like we look alike.
Wow, really?
And, you know, but my mother, I think she had that, I'm just guessing because I was a kid at the time, but now that I play back in my mind, it was like that was her partner. I mean, if they had bad times, they had bad times together. You ever hear somebody say, I'm sure you probably said it to ex,
let me tell you, trust me.
Going through hard times don't seem that bad when we together.
Yeah.
My wife says it to me all the time.
I'm doing it now with my kids. Like, I just said it to my son.
Yeah.
It's like, we did this together, and
yeah.
we did it.
Yeah, and
that's where it was. It was new. Drugs was AIDS, all of that stuff. So they just did it together.
Yep.
She didn't know, and obviously is a backstory to your mom and your dad.
Yeah.
From him not able to read,
yeah.
what happened to him?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He
yeah.
just did the best he could with
yeah.
you.
In and out of jail, and he didn't know much.
He didn't know better.
He was just a good looking guy.
Good looking.
And
guy.
You could see, I was like, he's a boxer. He had one eye. He had the patch back in the day. He was a boxer. He was strappy, good looking guy. I could see how.
Yeah, how that happened.
How it happened. So my mom, she just lost it. And it was like it was days.
She's never was the same after.
Nah, it was days. Like it was days we didn't really go.
Did
to school
she know
much.
She was sick though?
No.
Yet?
No.
Oh, okay, she
no.
didn't know.
No.
Then. Okay.
It was days we didn't go to school, and like it was times where I was like, Mom, I'm going to school, and she was like, I'm coming to get you later. Let's go to the block. Like, you know, that was the thing.
That was your life. That was
right.
your life. That's real.
So
that's
real. Like, and this particular day, I went to school. And I went to the library. I never forget. I went to the library on 125th Street.
Mm-hmm.
There's a library right there.
Yeah,
and there's a library right there. I went to the library. I got some books. Came home, and as I'm walking in the corridor, I see a bunch of people down in the like near the front of the building, and I see stuff flinging out the window.
Oh, okay, coming up.
So it's people, I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm all right, whatever. I'm not thinking of this. I'm walking with my books. I'm like, all right. Go upstairs. I hear my mom screaming at the top of her lungs, why you left me? Why you left me? Throwing stuff out the window.
Of your house?
Yeah, she went crazy. Yeah, she like, lost it.
I can't
it.
Believe my best friend ain't here.
Yeah, and I got in the door. I got in the door, and I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? Mom. And she steady going off, and I guess eventually somebody called the cops. And they banging on the door. And as they banging on the door, she comes to the door, and she's like, you better put those guns away. I have a kid in here.
What the hell they had guns for? She had no weapons.
They don't know what they just know somebody's in there going crazy. They don't know, you know? And my mom's, she went to go open the door, and they shut the door. Like, I was I'm scared. I'm crying.
She trying to open.
Trying to open the door, but they closed the door. Yeah, it was weird.
And you remember all this.
Yeah, and then they barged in, and they took her to, I guess, the mental.
Oh, the mental hospital.
Yeah, and.
Just for expressing herself, because she losing it. She's a best friend, like.
Yeah. And but she was also on drugs as well.
Oh, okay. And then people probably were saying that she don't be taking care of the kids now, you know. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sure.
So, okay. Like, I remember, you know, after a while she was good. Everything returned, you know, so-called normal. And next thing you know, we get a ring at the door, and it's a caseworker. And he says,
Was she clean at this time?
No.
Oh, okay. No,
but she wasn't.
She wasn't bad.
It wasn't the bad, but like, you know, you can
you
still.
Know bad.
You know
she was
bad.
Functional.
Yeah, you know bad. But she stopped. She stopped the heroin, and it was crack. Crack came in. So it was smoking. It was base at the time, but then it cracked.
Yeah, then it got me.
And the guy said, "Yeah, I'm here to help y'all." So my mom was like, "Okay, you know, no problem." He was like, "You mind if I look around the house?" The house was never, like, dirty.
Oh, okay.
It was just, it was in a disarray sometimes.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Just didn't look,
it didn't like a home. Right, it didn't like a home. And she told the caseworker, so the caseworker was, like, deceptive. He was like, yo, I'm gonna help y'all. At that time, they would, like, give you checks for furniture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So my mom was like, yeah, my boys could use another bed, boom, boom, boom. So after a while, time goes forward. We get another knock on the door, fast forward, and it's the same guy with the cops.
Trying to act like he a friend, meanwhile he plotting.
So I was there by myself. My brothers, they were out. So the guy comes in, my mom lets him in, the caseworker, and he's like, you know, she's like, what's going on? And he was like, you know, Rosa, listen, we here to take your kids away. And my mom was like, what? Like, you said you was going to help us. I tried to run to the back. Well, my mom, she tried to put up a fight with the cops. They grabbed her, slammed her on the thing, and they grabbed me up. And she's going, I'm crying for her. And they took me to my grandmother's house. So my brothers, they, you know, I guess they got wind. They didn't come back home. They were hiding. So they put out, you know, APB 24/7, find these kids, they're looking for them. So I get to my grandmother's house, you know, my clothes wasn't the best, wasn't showering like that. It was like, it was just bad.
Yeah,
you know?
Was happy to be with your mom.
I was malnourished, but it was, she loved me, so I didn't really care. It didn't look.
Yeah, you know? That's all that mattered.
I was with her, you know, so we get there, and then I was like, I recall this vividly, like about 3 hours, I think it was like 3-4 hours, after that, here come, they bring my brother in. they got my brother, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at my grandparents, and I'm like, you know, I want to go home. So me and my brother talk, and it was like, you know, I'm going to sleep here for the night. Mm. So I'm like, nah, but where's mommy at? I want to go home. I want to see mommy. So me and my brother, we laid down, and
And where the other two at? They still on the street?
They still running the street. Oh, my okay. oldest brother lived with my grandmother.
Okay.
He stayed with my grandmother.
Okay, so he was already home.
Yeah, he was already there. He was good. And I was talking to my brother, and I'm like, yo, I want to go home. I'm like, you think we're going home? And he was like, I don't know, Ruben, I don't know.
This is your father's mother?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is my mother's mother.
It's your mother's mother.
It's my mother's mother. Okay. My father's mother died of a cocaine overdose. Yeah.
See, the sea is always a backstory. Yeah. What did your father have to go through?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So there was no, everybody on my father's side was either dead or in jail. It was just hard. Like his, it was.
Generational.
You couldn't even go to one of them and say, like, hey, because there was nowhere to be. I still don't know where everybody's at.
To this day.
Yeah, I still haven't seen none of them. Like my uncles from his side, none of them.
Your mother's side was more stable.
Yeah, that was where the stability was at.
Mm.
And so days go by, and then it was just finally was like, yo, you're not going home. I'm staying here. Like, and I'm like, nah, I'm like, hi, where's mommy at? Oh, your mom's gonna be all right. But I knew something was wrong.
How old were you, think, dude?
I was like about 10.
Oh, damn.
Like about 10.
You young. Yeah. You're like, where mommy at?
Yeah, like, I know being with mommy. But they looking at me like, you crazy?
And you were like,
yeah. And I'm like, nah.
The love you have for your mom.
And
where did they take her to?
They took her to the hospital.
Went to a hospital. Yeah. To get clean?
Clean. But then like, they find out she was HIV positive.
Oh, man.
They didn't even know what it was.
Oh,
same thing.
Just, okay, same.
She started deteriorating. Same process.
The same thing. Did you go visit her?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That was her door.
Yeah, I was able to see her. And it was a hospital right there on 110th. And I think it was on the east side. And my grandmother, she lived on 96th Street. And we would go see her. The same process that happened to my dad was happening to her. Man. Yeah. Yep.
How did that make you feel though? Like, were you just like, you knew, you? I'm sure in your mind you were like, damn, am I about to lose mommy? Because I know daddy. I'm
going to be honest with you. Like, put it like this. It was like,
if you're a mommy asking, because I know.
No,
this
no, it's
deep.
Cool.
This
it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. This is the freedom of truth.
You know what though? And just so you know, the whole point of, I always say this. The reason how I got healed was because I had to go back into that place.
Yeah.
My childhood.
Yeah.
Where I was molded. I lived in a very dysfunctional home.
Yeah.
I had the same thing like you.
Yeah.
Me and my brother were 2 years apart. We had to go get food for our siblings. We went many days with no food.
That's crazy. See?
Rice and ketchup.
See, that's I remember that. Rice and ketchup.
That's steak right
there.
Rice and ketchup.
Maybe a scrambled egg.
We good. Like,
yeah.
You know,
who's it, noodles? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that I know, trust me, we in the same in the same space.
Yeah.
But I wanted to put that aside. I didn't know, I didn't realize, I didn't want to forget about it, but I, you know, to move forward, to get away from that, you know, I thought that the best thing to do was forget that happened. But
you can't.
No, I couldn't.
You can't.
So that's what we're doing now. We're doing the work.
Yeah,
we're going back to that
10-year-old
kid that went through with, with the mother, the father, and that's why you where you at now, because you're able to do that and make yourself vulnerable. That's man, woman, whoever. Like,
doesn't matter. We're human.
Exactly. And it's like, it makes us better people to know where we came from, but we ain't there no more.
Nah.
You're so far past that. You didn't go on drugs.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? You were a successful DJ now. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, or whatever else. I don't even know. It's probably so many other things.
We're going to get to the glory in a minute. We're going to get to the glory in a minute.
So that's what I'm saying. So I just wanted to let you know, this is us. Like, we talking like we sisters and brothers here.
And
like,
I feel like, you ever meet somebody and you feel like, yo, you know what? Like, I should have been talking to this person. I should have been known this person. Or I know this person already. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't feel like this is an interview. I feel like I'm just sitting down kicking it with you.
Yo, and that's what I wanted to feel like, because that's what it should feel like. Like, we shouldn't be feel afraid to speak about what we've been through.
Nah.
Like, this happens. And I don't want to wear a mask. Remember I said
you got, that? Yeah, and you know what? That's the thing about it. Like, my pain is something I carry with me, and I use it as my gas to continue to try to be the best I can.
You have to.
But
I know, okay, so you said to be honest. You was telling me about
it was like, all right, you know, like an alcoholic who drinks every day, right? And I was talking to my wife the other day, and I asked her, I said, what's worse, having a drink every day or stop having a drink after you've been drinking every day? And she was like, what do you mean? And I'm like, she said, I think after. And it was like that. It was like going through so much, and now I'm in a space with structure. Mm-hmm. Like that's what my grandparents provided for me. Structure. They were like, you're going to go to school. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And you're going to go to bed at this time. We remember we was going to bed whenever we wanted.
That's foreign to you.
Now my grandpa's like, you got to go to bed at 6 o'clock. And I'm like, what?
Well, I like it
here. Yeah, like that. Like it was hard. It was hard. I was like, this is crazy.
I'm still like that now because I didn't get that.
My grandma, my abuela, she cooked the best food. And they put in plates
imagine.
Of. But right. Think about putting plates of. All right, think about.
Sitting at a table.
And you're not eating. You go from barely eating and eating sometimes to where, you know, if you can, if it's money, now you got a big plate of food and you can't even eat it because your stomach won't even digest.
Because it's probably small. Like, because you know our stomach only stretches the more you put in. So.
And I remember, like, it was days we'd be out and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a bag of chips. That's dinner.
And you good with that.
Yeah, and now I got rice and beans and chicken and my and like hot plate and get in the bath before you, like...
Creating
so the come down messed me up. Like, all right, now. And
like
then,
you were rehabilitating from such dysfunction to normal.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is normal. Like, you had to, like you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I said, use it like a. Like a
no,
like
you're right. No, you're right. You're right.
With the liquor.
You're right.
Like,
yeah, it's that type of thing. Like, you're drinking your whole life every day. And then you go to the hospital, they tell you, listen, you stop drinking. Now you're diagnosed with this. Now your liver is this. Now you stop. Now you have to take
now
a drink.
You have to.
So I reference this to that because it was the come down. Now I'm in my grandma's and now we have structure. And now that's where the sickness comes in. Now I'm physically sick. Now I'm catching seizures every time I'm walking.
Wow.
I was going, it was so bad that they was like, listen, he's never going to be able to get a driver's license. And everywhere he goes, he's going to have a second person with him.
Wow.
And my grandmother, thank God for her, because she nursed me back to health. Now, this story is like, this is why I got to be a high power. So we go to the hospital, and they put me on medication. I stayed in the hospital for like 3 or 4 weeks. And my mom's, she was in and out, but she had visit. Where she couldn't move yet.
Mm.
So they were like, they had to sign. It was like a hospice almost.
Oh, gotcha.
And my grandma would go sign out to come see me and stuff. Mm. And it was times where I'm in the hospital, I would fall asleep. But how I knew my mom's would be there, she would bring me a Leslie Crunch bar and leave it at the table.
Oh.
And then kiss me on the forehead. And I would wake up in the morning like, oh, mom was here. You know? And I was in the hospital. And then after I was released, my grandmother was like, listen, you know, we got an appointment this day. And I remember the doctor telling my grandmother, he has a left spike on his brain. Don't ask me. That's all I heard. And the doctor was like, he's never going to be able to do normal kids, go to a pool, he might not even be able to get a driver's license. That's all I knew. And I was like, I didn't really understand it, but my grandmom did. And she was like oh, wow. Like,
but that higher power.
Now watch this. So time goes on. She's nursing me back to health. Remember taking the medication, and she would let me go outside. And every time she had a balcony, so like she said, don't go far. Stay in the front. Go play with the kids in the neighborhood, but don't go far. And she would call us. She'd be like, time to come upstairs because I had to take my medication and eat. And I was like, Mom, Grandma, I want to go back downstairs, Abuela. And she was like, yeah, you got to eat first and then take your medication. And my I don't know, like you're familiar with Spanish households.
Oh yeah.
My abuela didn't believe in like medication. If you had a headache, yo, take this ginger tea or take this cod liver oil.
I didn't get a chance to tell you. This was tea for me. Every time something's wrong, I drink tea.
Like my grandmother never believed in like pills. Like
I mean, I don't take medicine to this day.
Yeah, like she just didn't. That wasn't it. Like if you got a cold, yo, here's this cod liver oil from scratch that she made. It was the most horrible thing ever in the world.
Remedy.
But here's the thing. I didn't know if it was the harshness of it that made the cold go away.
Yo, that thing. But, yo, I remember that.
It was nasty.
Yo.
I was scared to cough around my grandma.
But you know what, though? But it's healthy at the same time.
Oh, no.
The stuff they give us now, like... Yo,
they don't get
well,
no better.
Well, I wasn't playing.
Well, I was the truth.
The doctor told her one thing, and well, I was like,
I was like, all right, she left.
She believed in God?
Oh, my God. She was very spiritual. She had that, you know. Oh, my God.
Yo.
Say that again.
Praying over you. That's where the power is at.
Yes, yes.
She prayed you through.
Yeah, and I used to catch seizures in my sleep. I caught the last seizure in school. And all I know is I passed out, and I wake up, a bunch of people around me. And the doctor, we back in the hospital, and the doctor was like, listen, his body can't take one more seizure.
Really? He was that bad?
Yeah, one more bad seizure. He's not going.
Too much on the brain.
Yeah. And my grandma was like, all right. I remember looking at my grandmother's face. She had that.
He took you a spiritual doctor?
Yeah. No, my grandmother was the spiritual doctor. I was the spiritual doctor.
Okay, okay.
You know what spiritual I'm talking about.
Yes, trust me.
You know, and I remember going home and I was like, I was depressed. I'm like, man, you know, so sometimes I couldn't think. I'm thinking about my mom's. And time goes on. My grandmother would whip up these concoctions and be like, here. And we had something called sancocho. It's like a soup on Sundays. Yeah, it was from scratch.
That sounds good though.
Yo, good stuff. Like, and it was chicken noodles from scratch. Like everything she.
But this is what your mother came from.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just real wholesome woman, and that's why she gave that. You know what I'm saying? That nurturing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like.
After time goes back on, we go to the doctor, and the doctor says he's doing better, right? Cool, go
no
back. Same process. I don't know what my well I did. Until this day, I want to pray. I praise her. Like, I love, like.
She's still alive?
She's in a hospice now. She's of age. She's no problem.
Older.
But, you know, it's
old.
That age, yeah. So, I remember going to the doctor. They took an x-ray of my brain. And the doctor was like, oh, my God. We don't see this spike on his left brain anymore.
Wow. The power of God. I'm sorry, I have to always give him the glory. The higher power, man. That's just...
And he said, and I looked, and my grandmother just looked like, all right, let's go home now.
I did that.
And the doctor said, we're going to give him a certificate saying that he's fine. I had to wear a bracelet. Saying, you know, epileptic, you know, epileptic. That, yeah,
okay,
you know,
so some, if
I pass out, somebody
happened.
Find me.
And it was gone.
And it was like a chain on my, I used to hate it. I would turn it upside down.
How long did you have to go through that?
I would say from the time I got there to like about, I would say about 12, 13. So it was years.
2 or 3 years.
It was years.
Wow.
It was years.
And
yeah.
Well, I brought you back. Well, her remedies and her prayer.
Yo. That I was
this
like,
this is real.
Yes,
this is why I'm
vegan. Yes,
the
yes,
food, the
yes,
prayer. That's what brought me to life.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Believing in something I can't see, but just believing. You know what I'm saying?
And it's scary. I'm like, and I tell my wife the story all the time. She's like, yo, that's until this day she loves my will. And they gave because they have to give you a certificate stating that, you know, anyway, like even to get a summer job, anything,
just. It's like, again, looking for the language, but like, you know.
Yeah, they have to because
like
you're registered. Right,
that you,
yes.
It's over. Like, it's
and
like,
I remember taking off this bracelet.
It
it was steel. Yeah, you had to, they had to, it was them alert bracelets back in the day. Yeah, I had to wear that.
I never saw that.
It was stainless steel, and they had to, because you could take a shower with it, it never tarnishes.
Wow.
So just in case you passed out, they look, oh, okay,
we know
what to do.
On. Wow.
And,
that was a miracle in your life.
That was like, oh snap, I'm good. I could run with the other kids now. I ain't gotta have nobody watching me.
And you should see, like, I'm just like listening to your story is such a beautiful journey though.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm sure that, like you said, like the tools, like you said, your hurt and your pain, like of your childhood.
Yeah.
Look how it's turning though. Like, you know what I'm saying? And your well are you seeing like
Your
mom already left you with something good.
Yeah, she's my angel. That's,
you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
my angel, like that forever. I carry her with me, and it was times where I would blame myself because I was like, damn, if I was a little older, maybe I could have stopped this or I could have stopped that. It was times where I blamed myself.
It was. I hate to say it though, because I mean, same thing. My mom and dad, like, it's almost like it was your destiny, though. It's like something that you had to go through.
Because
I know for me, it was so dark. And
then
I look back, I'm like, I'll do it all over again because I know I wouldn't be who I am. But your stuff is heavy. So you like, and no, and then, you know what, but you can't think of who you are now. I'm talking about.
No, this is, yeah, you got to go back. I can't, yeah, then,
you know what
now
I'm saying? Like, now you can't even imagine. No. But I'm saying, like, you are who you are because of that, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what
of
I'm saying?
Course, of course.
Like,
of course.
The heart that you have, because I could tell you just genuine. Like, you rarely meet people like us.
Yeah, they don't make them like us.
They don't make us like, that's the cloth we cut from. And we could have went either way. You could have.
And that's the crazy thing.
You could have been bitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're none of the above. And that's what I appreciate about you. You know what I'm saying?
And my grandparents, like, now see.
Oh, was her grandfather in the?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. Oh, okay. My Wello. Shout out to my Wello. He was another one. Yeah, Wello, of course. That was the only relationship I ever seen that lasted so long.
So you know how, because you see now with your wife.
Yeah.
You saw that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. From them. That was the only relationship. Yeah, that their relationship, I think, 40, 30 years together?
Wow.
Yeah, they
so I know
they were solid.
You know how that broke their heart to see their daughter?
That, yeah, they that hurt them.
Yeah,
that hurt
I can't imagine. Was that the only child?
No, they have, my mom's had 3 brothers and 1 sister.
Oh, wow, so they had 2 girls, okay. Yeah. And anybody else got caught up?
No.
Okay.
No.
So my mom's,
like, she was but she was such a beautiful person, like, she was a part. That's where I get the music side for me, because my house was like, my mom's played salsa, Marvin Gaye, and this is the music I was
raised up on.
Yeah,
you remember like that?
Yeah.
She had soul. She had character.
My mom's was dope. Like,
yo.
You come in the house, she dance with you. You be like, all right, mom, what's up? And she'd take you for a little turn around and show you some. She was dope. She was dope. She was
alive.
Dope.
She was the life of the party. Like,
yes, absolutely.
And just got caught up, man.
Just got caught
and
up.
And stuff that you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know she ain't all my age. She thinking that she could just do the needles, not knowing what comes behind it when you share the needles. Like, that was a time when nobody knew.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then she with the love of her life, badass,
nice
looking dude.
Yeah, yeah.
They getting money together. They getting, you know what I'm saying? That's
what
I already know. Because you know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up in that.
So you know what it is.
So I know. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's all we know.
Yeah, it's all we know.
You know what I'm saying? And it is what it is.
So we growing. So we growing now, you know, like, now the journey starts. The journey doesn't even end with that. It keeps going. Like, so now we're living with our grandparents. And now we're, mind you, when we're there, we're like 12. Now we have to grow.
Now you have to grow.
Now I turn into a teenager. So now, not for nothing, like, losing my parents, I was very upset.
I was about to say, did you have any anger issues?
Very angry.
Did you ever think about suicide or anything?
I'm going to get to that.
Oh, shit. Let me find out. We got a lot of stuff for him. All the guests be
we got time?
Fire.
We got time?
I know.
We got time?
How
we looking?
Time?
How we looking?
Oh, so we got, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah. All right.
A good 15? No, so that's good to know. So that way.
Yeah, we can show it. Yeah,
but you ain't got a speed.
Okay, but
like,
I'm
going to
condense it.
Now, tell the story. Because
okay.
That's what I love about them.
Okay.
They want to get that story.
Now, we're going to condense it. All right, so. As we're growing, now I'm upset, now I'm mad, I'm in the streets, now I start to selling drugs, getting into all type of stuff, then wasn't going to school, and my grandparents, they just couldn't deal with that.
Mm.
And it wasn't like I was a bad person.
No, I'm just...
Now I'm a teenager, so now I'm angry, now I'm like, all right, I'm always fighting, I'm always doing certain things, so they couldn't deal with it, so they sent us to a group home.
It was too much for them.
Yeah, it was too. And I'm not mad at them. It was just what it is.
I mean, do you have any kids?
I have 2 girls, twins.
So you already know.
Yeah.
Like, if sometimes some things come, if your girls was to go that route, and you, like, what are you going to do? It hurts
it
us.
It becomes a lot.
But it's a lot.
Yeah. So now I'm in the group home, you know, and it's a dark place, man. It's like you're in a group home and got kids in there that don't care about life tomorrow. You got security that don't care. So that was another journey.
Never.
And now I'm like, okay, now I'm all alone. Now I'm by myself. For a minute, I was mad at my grandparents. But, you know, now that I'm older, I understood, and I understand now.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and I thanked them for putting me, because I'm like, all this stuff made me who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And being in a group home, as a teen, it is dark in there. It's, like I said, nobody can. The worst part is as a teenager or as a child, period, because even though you're a teenager, you still,
still.
It's knowing that nobody cares. That's what really kind of messed me up. That's what really kind of messed me up in there. And I contemplated suicide in there. Not that I was the man in there. Nobody, I was, thank God, I knock on wood, I was never raped. I was never hurt. Never. Like, I always knew how to protect myself.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the problem. It was just the fact
that. That loneliness, that emptiness.
That when it hits you and you're laying up in that bunk and you're laying up in that dorm and the walls are gray and you're like, damn, I wish. And you got to put
you
up this.
You thinking back?
But you got to put up this shell because of the place you're in. So I had to be a predator in there, but.
At the same time.
I could never cry. I could never do certain things because I'm like, that shows weakness in that type
that
of setting.
Yeah.
So I would cry at night, you know what I'm saying, by myself.
Damn, just going through it, going through the motions, looking back at your mom, why am I here, why did this happen, and that's
just sitting up in the dorm one day, and I was just like, yo, it don't even, ain't even no
purpose.
I was doing the crazy, when I said I was doing the craziest shit, I was talking about walking down the street with loaded handgun in my hand, like not caring.
Just don't give it.
And I would have done it to anybody because I was just like, I don't care about.
To live for, man. Like what? What worse could happen to me?
Right. I was doing like when I say I was doing crazy, I was doing all kind of stuff, and I'm like,
is so good though.
Is it okay
if I say hurt?
Yeah.
This is so good though for our listeners because there's a lot of people listening that may be in a place where you at and feel that emptiness or feel that I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And so, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Always.
So just to get things going, like I just sat in that group home and I was like, yo, there's ain't nothing to live for. And I tried to kill myself.
Wow. Like hanging?
I tried the pills, but it didn't work. Then I tried the hanging thing.
Wow.
And after a while, you just feel your neck, and it's a natural reaction to say, you know. But I was just like, I just didn't really have anything.
Too slow death.
Yeah, I was just like hold up, this ain't gonna work. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so.
Yo, that's deep though. You know what I'm saying? I'm so happy you could share that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I've never
heard that though. Yeah, people never go into the detail.
No,
that's
real. It's real.
But it's good for people to hear that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You couldn't even like in there. You couldn't even put like anything down. You had to fight every day. It's gladiator school.
Wow.
It's gladiator school. It ain't for nobody. I'm talking about you got to be a warrior.
Wow.
Because you can't share emotion because this is. The environment you're in, like now, if I shed one tear in here, I'm at like
you standing now, you shining like you gonna get that,
you're not doing that, and I never let. I thank God nobody ever took advantage of me. I was always the aggressor.
You always held yourself.
I always had to because I'm by myself.
It was something that something came with that.
Yeah,
sacrifices you made sacrifices with having that.
And I remember, telling one of the counselors one day. Like, this is a real story. I had a dream in the group home, and it was this voice that came to me and said, you got a purpose. Wow. You got a purpose. And that's where I met my lady. I met my lady around that time. She was my girlfriend then. And I was so...
Is the woman you with now?
Yeah. We've been 20 years it's been.
Wow, I love that.
And I met her around the time when it was my darkest point. And long story long, she was just like, you can't continue to do what you want to do if you want to be with me. You're going to have to clean up. Get a job. You smart. You don't have to do this. And I remember having that dream in a group home, and that voice came to me. I think it was my mom telling me, like, yo, you got a purpose. And I went downstairs to the counselors. I said, I got a purpose. I'm going to make it out.
Wow. After being so dark.
Yes.
Suicide. All of that.
Yes. Wow. And I said, I'm going to make it out. He was like, well, what's wrong with you? I'm going to make it out. Watch. I'm going to make it out. I'm going to do what I got to do. I don't know what came over me. And I remember going to the guidance counselor. It was a counselor. You had to go see a counselor every day. I said, listen, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do well. Anytime you go in a group home, there's one guy, he's the head of the group home. He makes this speech. And he said, out of everybody here, it's like 50 kids in the group home, 1% is going to get this speech. One.
One.
1%. And that was the same speech you gave to everybody.
And you did.
Yeah.
You was that 1%.
I was that 1%.
And what was the speech?
It was, some of you going to end up in jail. Some of you going to end up dead. If you don't take heed and do right. And it was short and sweet. I couldn't go verbatim.
Straight to the point.
Short and sweet. And he said, only one of you, and they call everybody downstairs. And he said, only 1% of you are going to get this speech.
Wow.
The rest, because remember, they get paid. They don't care. They don't care. They ain't going to tell you again. They ain't going to beat it into you. He just said it. That's it. Everybody go to their dorms.
Only 1% is going to get it. Not 5-1.
And it was true. I seen people go from the group home to jail because they, you know, they graduate.
Yeah.
I seen people die. I seen people hang it up. I seen kids get taken advantage of, raped, beat, and they just can't take it. Or they just not strong enough to deal with that in that setting. Mm. And I was like, I'm going to make it out. I'm going to make it out. And then my lady, I told her never to come up there and visit me. I told her some lies. I lived in the dorm, but she could hear the commotion.
You met her outside?
Yeah, I met her. In the group home, you got to have a pass so you could leave out. You can go, but you had to be back at a certain time.
Gotcha.
But what I would do is I would always hang out with the older cats. Mm. So what I would do is I would get them to call and say, yo, this is my uncle. Give me a pass for the weekend. So that's how I would do it.
So you would get out.
I would be in the clubs.
That was like your home.
Yeah, I would be in the clubs. I would be, you know what I'm saying? And you want to hear something crazy? And this is how life works. I met my lady at DMX's first album release party. It was at Carbon. It was at Carbon. I swear, I could call her right now.
You see how the universe works?
I met her that night.
Full circle. You met her.
It was at Carbon. Am I right?
I was there. Yes. Yeah, it was at Carbon. It was at Carbon. I remember that.
It used to be Exit. It used to be Exit.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I was like, was it Exit?
Exit. Right there on 51st.
It was Exit.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I was going to say.
His first, It's Dark and Hell Is Hot. First album, it was there. And Two Bounces got popped that day. I remember. Wow. I met her outside. They didn't let nobody else in. And back then, you know, outside, you could chill outside at the club. You wasn't mad.
Yeah.
I met her that day.
And
I told her never to come up there and visit me. We got close. I said, no, never come visit me. And she said, and she came anyway. I don't want to, you know, you're going to rush the door. She came anyway. She said, I got something for you. And I'm thinking, like, it's, you know.
Just something.
Something like some books.
Yeah.
Anything, magazines.
Yeah.
Some undershirts, anything like that. And she said, I didn't tell you not to come, but I was so happy to see. And my heart was happy.
Yeah,
thank you for coming. Please, thank you.
I just come to show you, though, like.
And she handed me a Bible with her picture in it. I never read the Bible in my life. I ain't even believe in God at that time. Because I'm like, yo, I'm going through all this. Where God at? Really? And she said, listen, take this with you. Take this up to your dorm when you go to sleep at night. Read it. And she said, read it like a story. And I read it like a story. And
changed their life.
Changed my whole. I was just like, yo, this is.
You see how, though? You see how God works, though? He sends you an angel. First, he spoke to you.
Yeah.
Then he sent a physical angel in your life and to give you his word.
Yeah. And me and her have been rocking ever since, and she's been doing right by me. And, you know,
wow.
And I turned my life around, and I'm here. Now I'm DJ Hercules
one. You inspiring me now, though.
Now I'm inspired by you.
Yo, and that's what it's about, like giving back.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless right now.
Now I got two wonderful daughters. I got twins. I have twins. Yes, I have twins.
Heaven and Divine. Are twins in your family?
Yeah.
On your side?
Yeah. My aunt, her sons are twins.
Oh, they're twins.
Yeah, they're twins. Yeah. And
that's a blessing too.
We had twins together. And we've been together ever since.
We go through things together. But I'm just saying, you just deal with it differently.
Yes.
When you deal with that after what you've been through, it's just different.
And ever since
know what not to do. You treating your daughters, because this is what I was just saying.
Yes.
You're treating your wife and your daughters the way you would want your mother to be treated. Yeah. And how you would want to be
my
treated.
My kids don't know a horrible day. Their horrible day is, Dad, I got a lot of homework. And that's you know, like.
Yo, that's my kids. You know,
like we provide the ultimate for them. And, like, now I'm here and I'm DJ Hercules. I'm a man who's overcome these obstacles. And I'm glad I'm able to sit here and share with you and get it out and express it with you.
And like, you know, and
specifically you.
And I'm honored. You like, know? I take nothing lightly and for granted. When I tell you that you are confirmation for me that this is my purpose.
Yeah.
Because I was lost for many years and not knowing. Happy.
Yeah.
But not knowing what's my purpose. Yeah. Why am I here? Why did I go through what I went through?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not bitter. I don't hate anybody.
Yeah. I'm not mad at it. Like, even, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, even the people that I was, like, I went back to my grandfather. He's passed away now, but I went back to him after I started my journey. I started doing good. And I said, thank you. And he said, thank you for what? I said, thank you for putting me through, this. And like I said, I just want this to inspire other people. And if you're feeling like it's over for you, or you feeling like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, I'm here to tell you that you can overcome any obstacle. And I'm looking dead in the camera.
Yeah.
And I want them to understand that you can overcome anything. I'm a successful young man. I never abuse drugs. I never smoke weed. Don't smoke cigarettes.
You're living life.
Yeah, and like some people tell me, you should smoke something. I'm like, I'm high for life.
That's how I. That's me too. Sometimes I'm like, I'm boring.
Of course, I have a sip, I don't do no. I don't do no drugs. I'm a wonderful father. I'm a wonderful father. You know, I'm a good husband. This is to show you, like, I got my own household. We run our own household. I govern my family, you know, and
man. You're everything.
Yes, this part of my life is the best part. You're still young, happy.
You look like, and that's the thing. Like I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, the first part of my life may have been crazy.
Yeah.
But when I was old enough to really take control of my life. Yeah. Yo, I'm doing everything. Yeah, yeah. I'm happy. I'm flying, and I wanna do, like, you know what I'm saying? This feels right.
And that's the thing. Like, now we got the happy ending. Now, like, you know, I'm,
and so much more life to live. You know what I'm saying?
I got a web series I'm starring in.
Oh, that's what I was about to say. So what are you doing?
I got a web series I'm starring in. It's called New York Underground Kings. Kings with a Z.
Web series called. So guys, yeah. This is the very important part. Yes, like after everything that you guys just heard, this is a true story of freaking freedom, triumph, hurt, pain. Like he just jumped over all those hurdles.
Yep.
And look at him now. Like, I mean, you guys, the ones that's listening, you got to make sure you tune into the visual because he came in here with the dope cashmere coat, with the sweater, with the Gucci scarf that he said his wife put him together in.
Yeah.
And I mean, from coming from the drugs and, you know, you like you said, malnourished,
everything.
You look well, healthy. Your spirit is right. You know who's the guide in your life. And
Absolutely. This
is a man that we need to be inspired by.
Thank you.
He let you know that, no, that drug life, it ain't the move.
Ain't
this
it.
Is what happens to it. The families that get caught up in it.
Yes,
and where we can find you, this is what we want to know. So you say you have a web series.
Go check it out. It's New York Underground Kings.
New York Underground Kings.
It's a dope story. It's about a guy who, he's a drug cartel leader. And he figures that he has a voice and the people will listen to him and he wants to follow that dream and he wants to do music and put it for the people that follow him and be positive. It's a dope. I'm starring
sound
in
like,
it.
Sound
my
like
post
like
acting role. Yep, there you go. And I want you to see it as well.
When does it start?
Oh, it already started. We got the whole season up there. YouTube. Go to YouTube.
I'm definitely checking that out.
I'm all over the city
DJ,
with events.
DJing
I just
all
did
over.
Just did her
did
event.
His thing, so, played all the music. I mean, he went from old school to new school.
Yes,
it's hard
yes,
to find
yes,
a good DJ.
Yes.
I ain't just gassing.
And I had Xavier doing the running man. I ain't gonna
never forget that. Oh boy, nobody gets Xavier to do the running man. Okay,
I ain't gonna never forget
Xavier
that.
Xavier don't even dance at the party. Everybody thought he was drunk. I'm like, that's what he'll drink.
Yeah,
he was just happy off of life. And I feel like your energy transpired through the music.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Like I do it. It's my passion. I'm great at it. And you know, listen, it's nothing like getting paid for your craft.
Yes.
But I never came in it for the money. But now the spoils are coming.
All your blessings is just raining on you, and
I'm accepting it well.
Right, you receiving it all.
And I'm never too gassed up. I'm never.
You're so humble.
Yeah.
I feel like the only reason why you probably came out the booth for real, like you was gonna come out. But I mean, and tell me that you wanted me to do this is because you were like. I feel her connection.
Yeah, it was a connection. And then another thing too is like telling a story, and you never look at somebody, you tell them something, and they judging you. Mm-hmm. I wanted something.
Somebody
you're never gonna judge. Like you're never gonna say, "Well, look, you heard, you know."
No.
So you were the perfect, and I know your story. So no. I was like, "This is
you
I got to share
it
with
genuine.
Her.
It's
I got to share
this
her.
This is your story has so much substance.
Yeah."
And so I always feel like, you know, right when you think that you've been through craziness, you meet somebody else and you're like, because this is so inspiring.
Yeah.
And I when I'm on the street, because that was us. Like, that was us. What you went through, the only difference was that you know, it was a crack. So it's like, my dad is clean now. Yeah. He helped me raise my children. My mom is, you know, they're still both alive, but mm-hmm. my mom, you know, she's dealing with her demons. She's alone.
It happens,
now.
You know, it's life, man.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Life it got a strange way of showing you things. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't do right, man, you got to do right. Right is so important.
And like I said, I'm here, and I'm glad I was able to come here and express myself, and me and you kick it. It didn't even feel like no. It just
felt like we was in our living room, chilling, like talking. I didn't drink no tea. Your story was so heavy that I didn't pick up the tea glass one time. But
we here now. Like I said, I am the one, man. I'm in a great space. I'm happy. Like I said, you can catch me all over the site.
Oh,
I'm
at every Instagram? Event.
Oh, at DJ Hercules 787 on Instagram and Twitter.
787?
Yeah, 787 is Puerto Rico area code. So I
put the wrong one, so I have to reach out.
It's all good.
So DJ Hercules, you can find him on Instagram. Yes, you have a Facebook?
Yeah. No, just Instagram and Twitter.
And Twitter, okay. Yep. Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, it's DJ Hercules 787.
Oh,
yeah,
everything's the same. Okay, please, guys, follow him. I feel like a lot of you guys on social media is following the wrong people. No shade. Yeah. But I'm all about the people that's really making a difference.
Thank you. Thank
and inspiring.
Thank
and
you
that's
so
exactly what you're doing.
Thank you
and
you so
keep
much.
Doing
Thank
your
you
thing.
So much.
Thank you for blessing my Freedom of Truth presence.
Anytime you need me, anytime. I would love to come back, and we're going to keep updated.
He coming back. What y'all say? I know. I'm going to put a little thing. I'm going to start putting a little thing on my website.
Yeah,
who you guys want to come back.
Yeah, we're going
to
come back.
I feel like you need to continue to follow DJ Herc because this was big. Thank
and she's
going to
be at my events, too.
Oh, clearly. Please let me know.
You know, the happy time. We need the good time.
Yeah, we live in that. We live in our best life right now, man. Good luck with raising them girls, man.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They good. Shout out to Heaven and Navaya. Love y'all to death.
Yes, shout out to you girls. Shout out to your wife, man, for being that strong woman. Oh, that's another thing I want to touch on real quick, though, before we close. Do you see the difference of her, a woman standing up, and knowing what she wants and telling that man, because at the end of the day, we're the ones who's supposed to guide and nurture.
Yeah.
Y'all are the protectors.
Yeah, we're the physical.
Exactly. But if we're not strong and let our man know what we want and what's important, what we need out of you guys, how y'all gonna know what to bring?
Absolutely.
So shout out to your wife. What's her name?
Sharonda.
Sharonda, shout out to you for being that powerful, strong woman in this man's life. I want to meet her.
She's super dope.
I gotta meet her.
She's super dope. We're gonna come up. You know what? We come up here as a couple.
Yo, I was love to do that.
And we do a couple segment. That's
it's,
that.
It's done. That's yo, I'm serious. Heard. It's next. Hercules and his wife. DJ Hercules. I'm sorry. Right, love y'all. Till next time. Thank you for tuning in.
Yes.
Thank you. I
got to
give him a
Oh, my God.
Thank
this
you.
Is dope. This is so dope. You know what? I'm seeing your tears go.